So do you have two sets of notes? Wave your hand if you got. If you have this, does everybody have this? Okay. So already mentioned the battle axe. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not your word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" The message says, "Like a sledgehammer, pulverizing the rock." Okay. And so the Word of God is the most powerful weapon we have. We have to renew our mind to it. We feed on it richly. Our spirit man feeds on the Word of God. That's how we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus is a big way through the Word of God. And so we daily must have a lifestyle of eating the bread of life, drinking of the Spirit and eating the bread of life. And so what I've got on this first one is a little book I've got. I've been working on Stones, Bones, and Tent Pegs. And what's interesting, if you would take a look at the pictures on the front of this set of notes. And how many of you can recognize all the stories? You recognize the stories? What about the first one? Remember, what is that first one? David and Goliath, okay. And then the second one across the top, do you know who that is? That's Jehiel driving the tent peg. And then the third one here with the two guys, that's the tribe of Benjamin that could sling a stone and split a hair. They were ambidextrous with the bow. That's all typology of being excellent in the Word of God. And then do you see the fourth one there? The gray one? Anybody know that one? That's what we're going to be teaching on today. That is Elisha and King Joash shooting the arrow of God's salvation out the east window. And that's symbolic of speaking and praying the Word of God. And we all can see Samson, right? With the jawbone of an ass or donkey. He defeated 1,000 of his enemies by... Basically, that's a type of how to declare the atoning promises of God. Moses with the rod held up. That's intercessory prayer, praying the word. Then Joshua with the javelin at Ai. And then down in the bottom right, you have Ehud driving the two-edged dagger into the belly of the fat king Eglon. Okay? And dispatching of that king. So these eight pictures tell eight Old Testament stories. Each of these stories, the main point is that whether it's a javelin or a two-edged dagger or stones and David's sling, all these things that are being shot at the enemy, they're all types of the Word of God. Now, you can go ahead and take this home and review it, and you'll see the importance of declaring the Word of God and praying the Word of God out of your mouth. Church, one of the things that we don't do as a church body enough, not just at the River, but it's really bad throughout the body of Christ over earth, and especially in America, is that people don't pray the Word. They don't pray enough of the Word of God. And you're going to see in today's story about Elisha and King Joash how critical it is that you are speaking the Word of God to that situation. So with no further ado, let's get into 2 Kings 13 and read the story of Elisha and King Joash and the arrows of deliverance. The sound of beautiful little children. Don't you love them? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. I'm reading from the New King James, starting in verse 14. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." Interestingly, that's pretty much the same statement that Elisha said when Elijah was being taken up. And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow, and some arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hands on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And then he said, the arrow, this is Elisha saying prophetically, everybody say prophetically, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek, which means strength. That word Aphek is a city in the tribe of Asher that the Syrians had captured, it seems. And that word Aphek means strength. For you must strike the Syrians. Actually, it also means fortress, fortified, or stronghold. So you must strike the Syrians who are fortified at a place called Aphek till you have destroyed them. That word is annihilate. Till you have annihilated them. Look at your neighbor and tell them, we have to annihilate the enemy. God's perfect will is not that we put up with the enemy. God's perfect will is that we annihilate the enemy. Okay? We live with the enemy. Israel learned to live with the enemy. They didn't drive out all the ites. If you read in the book of Judges, it says repeatedly that there was a group of the ites with many of the tribes that continued just to live in the land with Dan and with Asher and with Naphtali and with Ephraim and Manasseh. You go down that list and it says, but Manasseh did not drive out all of the enemy. Okay, and they were thorns in their side, or thorns in their eyes and burrs in their side. And so God never intended for us to live with the enemy. He wants the enemy under our feet, and he wants those enemies in our life to be destroyed. Okay? You know, so people talk all the time about, you know, Paul's thorn in the flesh. And we magnify his thorn in the flesh. Some say it was a sickness. Others, I think it was a spirit of persecution that followed Paul around wherever he preached. That spirit of persecution caused an uproar to take place. But the Bible says that at the end of Paul's life, the last 2 or 3 years of his life in Acts 28, he preached the word of God, and it says that no one hindered him. So he got victory over that spirit of persecution or whatever that thing was. I believe that Paul said that thorn in his side that he got the victory over. It is God's will that we do not. And, you know, let me just say something. The Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, he is the most read preacher of all time. Spurgeon lived in the 1850s. He ministered for 50 years, 1830 to 1880, or something like that, and in London, England. And he preached that whole time with depression. He suffered greatly with depression. The most read preacher of all time under the anointing and preaching the Word of God set millions free, literally, and yet he himself died under depression. Do you think that God, that was God's perfect will? No. And so sometimes, you know, we have to fight hard for our victories. And it doesn't come with just one pass around. You know, when you're chopping down a big, big tree with an axe and you take one whack, most trees don't fall down with one whack, right? I mean, if you're taking down a big tree, how many blows with the axe are you going to have if you take down a big tree? Yes. So now that does preach, because depending on how strong we are in the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, Proverbs says that many blows or many swings of the axe will be needed if your blade is dull. So if the blade is dull, and that means that you're not very sharp in the Word of God, it's going to take you a lot longer to be able to take down those things. But anyway, getting back, you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them, annihilated them. That is God's perfect will. Not that we learn to live with these enemies, but we annihilate our enemies. Then in verse 18, then he said, take the arrows. So the king took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. So let's go take these verses 15 through 19. These five verses. You got your notes. Let's take a real quick. We'll move through this rapidly this morning. Verse 15, and Elisha said, take a bow and some arrows. So he took to himself a bow and some arrows. The bow is our prayer life. The arrows are the word of God, God's promises. Okay? We understand that. That's very, very simple to understand. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Putting our hand on the bow is to take up the warfare of prayer. Many of us know about prayer, but until we put our hands on the bow, that means actively begin to do prayer, it's not helping us because we know about prayer. It's the action of prayer. And Elisha putting his hands on the king's hands is the Holy Spirit helping us in our praying. Guys, God is with us, and everything that we do in speaking the word and in prayer, the Holy Spirit helps us. Elisha represents the anointing, okay? It represents really the Holy Spirit. More than just the anointing, it represents the person of the Holy Spirit's coming and helping us in our intercessions. So when you decide to put your hand on the bow, when you decide to get in your prayer closet, when you decide to take some time on your knees and begin to declare the Word of God, the Holy Spirit jumps on that activity with you. You and God are co-laboring at that moment to expand His kingdom and push darkness out. Let us be encouraged today. The grace of God, that's what those hands represent. God's grace empowering us to do the impossible or to do the possible that we can be very weary if we don't have the Holy Spirit's help. And so this is so important. We understand this, that when you begin to pray, God's in that prayer with you. And verse 17. And then Elisha said to the king, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you have destroyed them. Opening the east window, it's showing us that our prayer has a direction against the enemy. Okay? Where the enemy is lodging is where we should be using our mouth to shoot our prayer arrows. Or, are you ready for this? God's rescue arrows. One translation says, open the east window and shoot out of that window God's rescue arrows. What are God's rescue arrows? What are the arrows? What are the arrows? It's the promises of God. Okay? And so we, all of us, have a quiver full of promises. The arrows that are being shot at the enemy is not, you know, screaming at him. Just yelling at him, you're speaking and declaring and establishing God's will by speaking God's word to that situation. You pray it to God and you declare it to the mountain. That's why it says in Zechariah to the mountain, that mountain, grace, we speak to that mountain, you shall be as a plain. So the prophetic word is that we can speak to the mountains, the will of God, the word of God, and it says that that thing is going to be a plane. All right? How many of you have examples that you can think of right now where you began to declare the word of God and something changed because you got active with the word of God? I mean, these are little things, but, you know, Emily was, what time did she have those unseemly warts on her feet? Maybe 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, and they were painful. And I remember that we just really got after it. We tried whatever all the different wart medicines that, you know, took her to the doctor once, and they kept coming back. And these were embarrassing for a little girl. And she was going to be having this big event at a swimming pool, and she was so nervous about going to that event with those warts on her feet. And how many of you had a wart on your hand or on your chin? Nobody would like that, you know. So Amy and I got serious. We said, Emily, we're going to speak the word of God over those warts, and they're going to be gone. The day before this big swimming event, where those warts literally fell off her feet, never came back. I mean, we need to be encouraged that the Word of God is a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Your Word is a hammer. We don't have to live with the enemy. We can destroy these things using the Word of God. You can destroy depression. You can destroy weakness, feebleness, anxiety, fear. I mean, Amy, we're meeting more and more people in the millennial generation that are asking us that they have this incredible anxiety. Do you know 2 weeks ago I heard on the news that there was a study done that for some reason they found that the millennial generation is living with a much heightened anxiety than the previous generations? There's something to that. And so, you know, we need to be praying for our kids and praying for that generation. Praying for ourselves, peace that passes all understanding is ours. Get up and begin to declare these promises. Amen? And so, the east window, why not the west window? Why not the north window? The east window happened to be where the Syrians had taken over some of the land of Israel, was to the east. Syria, as a nation, is up north. But the land that they took from Israel was directly east from where they are in this story. And so prayer has a direction. Prayer has a purpose. Prayer is not aimless. You just don't go flying around shooting a gun all over the place thinking that you're going to hit anything of importance. You're just shooting wildly. Focus your prayer. Focus your with the Word of God. Zero in on the enemy and nail him. Don't let him stay comfortable with you. Don't let him walk around your house as an equal owner of your property. Jesus owns you and that property. Don't let the enemy walk around like he deserves to be there. Now, I say this about setting the temperature in the house. Nobody has a right to put this thermostat on 60 degrees and freeze everybody out except me. We don't have that right. And so in your house, establish a temperature that's comfortable for everybody. And praise will do a lot of that. You know, keep God in your house by speaking and declaring the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Now, the next one. God's rescue arrows. I want to talk about God's rescue arrows are the Word of God. This is what God calls His promises, God's rescue arrows. If you want to rescue someone, what do? You start speaking the Word of God, believing the Word of God, agreeing with the Word of God. Does anybody know a scripture would prove that? Well, Psalm 107:20, He sent His what? His Word, and it did what? And what else did it do? Delivered them from what? All their destructions. He sent His Word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. If you have a sin in your life that's rooted into you by repetition or something maybe your parents struggled with, got passed on to you, however that works. I'm not a big generational curse guy, guys. I mean, I know some of us, we believe in it. But I believe that when you get set free in Christ, you got set free. You've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and you got translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the only areas that the enemy can really work with you and keep you in bondage is with two things, ignorance and a desire not to part ways with that sin. There's no deliverance for a man or woman who loves their sin, period. You're not going to be delivered. And ignorance can cause you to stay in the dark. Okay, and the enemy can stay in your house if you're ignorant of it. I tore my knee up playing football in high school at 17, and it was probably 19 or 20 when I was reading E.W. Kenyon, his book on Christ the Healer. All of a sudden, my eyes opened up. Are you kidding me? Healings? I mean, I'm not going to hell. That was a nice revelation. You're saved. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins are forgiven. What more could, I mean, are you serious that part of this receiving Jesus is also we can have healing for our bodies? What a blessing that is. And I didn't know that. No one told me that when I got saved. But when I found out that that was part of the covenant, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who heals all your diseases, who forgives all your sins. I might have said that backwards. Nevertheless, all sins and sicknesses, the covenant, the blood takes care of. Amen? So, God has these rescue arrows. And they should be in all of our quivers. You might not know what you got in your quiver. How many of you have ever had something on you and you did not know? Okay, I know there's more than just me. I wear glasses. So I see a few of you. Have you ever walked around the house looking for glasses? They were in your hand. Come on, you guys. It's just me. They say people with a super high IQ sometimes does these things. You know. So, people with a very low IQ, they never experience those things. Verse 18, take these rescue arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. Okay? Taking the arrows, that is a type of finding the Word of God and bringing them into your quiver, your heart and your mind. That's the first step, guys. You know, second step, actually. First step is taking the bow. Second is taking these rescue arrows, the Word of God, the promises of God. And then it says, and he struck the ground. The word was, now strike the ground. Now, one translation says, now start stomping on those arrows. I like that, only in this regard. It shows the passion, the energy. You know, so many times you'll hear me say this, speak the Word of God out loud with an attitude. Why do I say out loud with an attitude? Because if you're under, you know, we recently, well, last week, we had, and some of you work outside in the heat for a living, and it was like you were working in a sauna. I mean, it was just so hot, and it's hard to move in the extreme heat. It really makes it hard to get energetic. And when you're under a lot of pressure, spiritual warfare, and just that spirit of heaviness, it's so easy to speak the Word of God like this. Or even mumble it to where you don't even hear, you can't even make out your own words. Because you're heavy. Your mind is darkened. Your strength is, you know, you might even be angry and frustrated. And you just want to hit anything that moves. And that's why I say this all the time. You have to declare the Word of God clearly out of your mouth with an attitude. That is your battle axe. When you declare the Word of God with an attitude, you're fighting back. You're fighting back with the Word of God. Okay? I didn't say speak the Word of God at a person. I'm saying speaking the Word of God at that mountain, at those enemies, spiritual enemies that we are fighting against. Do I need to say it again? Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so he was commanded, the king was commanded to take some arrows and strike the ground. Some translations actually, and this probably is, probably he probably didn't strike the ground with the arrows. He probably took the bow and shot into the ground those arrows. Do you see the typology of that? It would appear like in the Hebrew that it's more shooting in the ground. Boom, boom. He's shooting arrows, God's rescue arrows, into the ground, which is that hard thing representing the stronghold. That ground is hard and strong. But those arrows of God, those rescue arrows are being shot down into that thing to dispatch it. But something happened. Now, the king knew from prophetically that what he was shooting out that east window was the arrow of God's deliverance. or arrows of God's salvation. Many translations actually say the arrow of God's salvation. So the way God's going to save you is with some arrows. Okay? Are you willing to shoot those arrows? Do you want salvation? How many of you really want salvation? Man, I want salvation. And you know what? For all the grace guys out there that just want to lay back and say God's grace is enough, you're not saved by grace. You are not saved by grace. You are saved by grace through faith. Grace doesn't save the world. Grace, by faith, will save the world. And if you don't see your part in this, God's grace was the lamb slain, but the faith part that really saved the Israelites in Egypt was the faith to take that blood of that innocent grace lamb and apply it by active faith to the doorpost and lintel. Then you were saved from the death angel. Well, if you would have said this, I'm so glad God gave those lambs for Israel, but not apply those to the homes. Every home where the blood was saved. Every home where the blood was not, the firstborn died in that home. So you have to understand that you have a part in your salvation. And you see it right here. The king was told to take these God's rescue arrows, the promises, and to strike the ground with them. And he said to the king, strike the ground. So the king struck it three times and stopped. He still got arrows in his quiver. The king knew that Elisha said, these arrows are God's rescue arrows. They're special arrows. They're powerful arrows. These arrows will dispatch your enemy. Why would you stop after three times? Because that's what we call perfunctory performance. Something that is perfunctory is something that is done in haste, or something that is done quickly, or something that lets us, you know, bam, 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 okay, I did it. No, you're fighting a real enemy. There are real enemies in our life that are trying to destroy your home, your marriage, your children, the church. We have to have a prayer ministry. We have to open the east window, our mouth, and begin to declare and let something fly out of your mouth that's really going to change destinies. Now, this is easy to preach. It's hard to do. If I declare at a prayer meeting that we're going to shoot God's rescue arrows tomorrow night, because we're going to shoot these arrows out the east window, we're going to have a prayer meeting that we're going to focus directly on one thing or two things, and we're going to shoot these arrows out of our mouth tomorrow night with this bow of prayer ministry, with God's promises, right into the heart of that stronghold. I might get six people. If I really keep doing this right now, I might get six of us. No condemnation if you don't make it. You might have work or something. But I'll just say this. The more arrows we got going toward the enemy, the better it's going to be. Don't rely on one or two people to do your praying. This is so critically important. Oh, it's just a nice story in the Old Testament. Don't you love the types? I'm telling you, this right here, the prophet got ticked off, and he represents God. Elisha was angry, it says. The man of God was angry with him. He said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria until you had annihilated it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. So to the number of strikes with the arrow was the exact measure of deliverance. So let me ask you this. Are you going to be happy with the amount of deliverance that you have based on your prayer? Your prayer. Did I make that clear? Are you going to be able to be sustained in life based on your prayer life and the amount of the Word of God that you're speaking? Yeah, I'm really trying to, Amy, my best to make everybody uncomfortable. Because this is not just a cute story. This is reality. This is reality. When I say reality, you know, we got Herb Dellingsrud. He's helping us out there. And Dwayne, here's what, Todd, you guys are, I'm always optimistic. Todd will tell you this. So I'm always coming up, you know, and saying, you know, I've got $1,000 budgeted for rebar, you know. And I'd say, Herb, what do you think? I mean, $1,000, that's a lot of money for rebar. He goes, reality check. Reality check. Hey, he must have told me 10 times so far, reality. And I said, Herb, let's talk, but don't tell me reality. You know, it's the reality, guys. What are you shooting out your east window? God forbid it's gossip. God forbid it's useless language. God forbid that it's doubt and unbelief. Open up your mouth, God says, and I'll fill it. Psalm 81:10. Open up your mouth. Samson with the jawbone of a donkey. Jawbone's the mouth. He killed 1,000. Ehud with that two-edged dagger that he slammed in the belly of that stronghold Eglon. Two edges in the Hebrew, it's two mouthed. Actually, in the Greek too, by the way. Edge is mouth most of the time. This thing that he fashioned. Ehud fashioned it. And he drove it in the belly. Moses only got victory as long as he held the rod up. When he put the rod down, the Amalekites, of all people, God can't stand the Amalekites. And he let the Amalekites defeat Jesus. Do you know that? Joshua is Old Testament word for Jesus. So all these stories I'm telling you on this is all eight of them are showing us the importance of the Word of God coming out of your mouth, directed specifically toward an enemy that's sitting on your property. You can dispatch of the enemy. You can destroy the enemy, but you got to open your mouth. And you got to be passionate. Don't be a perfunctory prayer person. You know, you're going to go through the motions. I've done that. I've been that type of prayer before. But man, to strike the ground violently, passionately, persistently, bang, bang, until the old timers used to say, pray through. Wasn't that what the phrase? You got to pray through. What does that mean, pray through, until there's a peace? You keep shooting arrows. Not 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. You might have to shoot 70 or 80. Amy says, praise. You stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. So you see the notes here? The king stopped. We can't stop. Don't stop. Already talked about in giving. Don't stop in your giving. Stay with it. Remember Chris Valentine. I always mess up his name. Valentin? Valentin. Valentine. Chris V. He said that great revelation on this, the little, why you're the little faith. And he said little is not so much the size as it has the idea of sustainability. Your faith is so feeble, you're not able to sustain it. See, you have to be able to sustain your faith. And God's grace, whose hand on the bow? Elisha, which is representing God, the Holy Spirit, put his hands. So we have the grace of God. Last week we saw all four of those champions that killed Goliath's sons in 2 Samuel 21. All four of their names had the idea of grace. So it's just not you out there throwing around the Word of God. It's you and the Holy Ghost throwing around the Word of God. You've got the Holy Spirit helping you. As you declare the Word of God in faith, the Holy Spirit's going to take that Word. And what does the Holy Spirit do when He hears the Word of God? Jeremiah 1:12, that God says, I watch over my Word to perform it. And, by the way, it's in your notes, angels hearken to the voice of God's Word. They're waiting to hear God's Word. So as we leave today, church family, we have to be committed. You've got a bow. You've got a mouth. You've got an east window. And you've got God's rescue arrows. You've got His promises. So, we've got hidden riches and secret places, 2,200 rescue arrows right here. In this little book, 2,200. We have another book called I'll Declare the Decree, 3,000 declarations that you can declare toward your enemy. We have another one that's called This Is Our God, 1,200 names, titles, and descriptions of who God is that you can declare every one of them out of your mouth. And then the fruit of the Spirit, 1,012 verses. I don't know what that adds up to. It's over 7,000 verses we've cataloged and put on a tee, like T-ball, for you to be able to get to these books, find what you need to declare, and declare it. Declare it. Out your east window. Right into the heart of that stronghold. Jeremiah 23:29, the word of the Lord is a fire and a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. If you have any unsaved loved ones, you got to start speaking those God's rescue arrows. What? Oh, if you do want these, well, they're being made up right now. You can come get them. Next week, we should have a couple hundred ready to go. So, you know, and they're only $200 a piece. Hey, you know what's in these books? God's rescue arrows. Well worth whatever investment it would be. These will not return void. They're going to accomplish. They're going to be sent, and it's going to accomplish what it was supposed to. And it will prosper. Isaiah 55. The Word of God is a living thing. Luke 1:37 says, no Word of God is void of power. Think about this. No rhema Word of God. No rhema. No rhema. That means the Word that you're speaking out of your mouth. Stand on your feet. I've ended the notes today with this thing called determined, unceasing prayer. If you'll see, these are the verses that back up praying without ceasing. Paul's prayers for the church we added on here, so you could start pounding away because the river needs all of our prayers. Pray Paul's prayers for the church, and not just for the river, but for this region. Amen. Thank you, Father. So, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lift your hands with me. Let's thank God. How many of you are committed to get some God's rescue arrows? Put them in your quiver. Open up your mouth, your east window, and start firing them toward the direction of the enemy in your life. Lord, we thank you for this important message today, that we will take it to heart and we will be passionate. And we'll not just go through the motions of striking the enemy three times and quitting. There will be no stopping us, no quit in us. We'll keep shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting until we have annihilated the enemy. Some of you have a stronghold in your flesh, shoot the enemy with those arrows. God's rescue arrows will set you free. If you have someone that you know is struggling, start shooting the arrows of deliverance into their heart and into their mind. And it won't be easy. And you can't stop at three nice shots. You can't stop. You got to keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting. Come on, you guys. Keep shooting. You're going to shoot. You're going to shoot. You're going to shoot. You're going to shoot so much the enemy's going to look like target practice. Boom. Boom, boom. And you're going to hit bullseye every time. Bullseye. Because you know who's helping you pull the bow? God Himself. God is helping us. Elisha put his hands on the hands of the king who pulled the bow. It's me, yet not me, but it's Christ in me. And by His grace, I'm pulling the bow. And His Spirit is helping me shoot it. And with His Holy Spirit working with us, we're going to hit the mark. We're going to drive the enemy out. Not just have a measure of salvation. How many of you would say, I'm done with a measure. I want the full salvation I'm supposed to have. Father, give it to us. We open our mouth right now and we shoot out your promises. Lord, we shoot your word. One more time, guys. Look at this right here. 8 incredible Old Testament stories all tell the same thing. You got an enemy. You got to throw something at the enemy. Or you're going to live with him. You're going to live with the enemy unless you start shooting something at him. How many of you would live in a house with somebody shooting something at you? How long would that go on? I wouldn't live in a house with somebody shooting at me. You start shooting at the enemy, God's rescue arrows, he's going to leave. Or he'll be annihilated. Good news today. If you need prayer, please come forward. We have fellowship outside. God bless you.